Hello, my wonderful friends. Welcome to Faith FM Drive Time. Welcome to Big Q&A. This is the show where we respond to difficult questions concerning God and faith, contemporary religion and the Bible. This is the show where we look at world religious trends in the light of Bible prophecy. I'm Pastor Gary. I'm your host. It is such a privilege to be able to join with you this week. We're following a really beaut theme. Does it matter what I believe? So many people ask this question. Does it really matter what you believe? Does it really matter what world religion you choose to be part of? This is one really significant question. Today, we're in fact asking that very question. Is all world religion essentially the same? We're going to dig into this subject. You'll love the discussion we're going to have today. Now, today, my co-host is Pastor Marty Thompson, and Marty is pastor of the Grace Adventist Church right here in central Adelaide, and also the Stirling Adventist Church in the beautiful Adelaide Hills. Well, beautiful when the weather warms up a little bit. Welcome to you, Marty.
Yeah, good to be here, Pastor Gary. I tell you what, it is very chilly up there in the Adelaide Hills. I tell you, you know, whenever I'm preaching up at Stirling Church and we drive up, it is beautiful. It's stunning.
Yes.
But sometimes I'm very glad that the distance between the car and the church is a very short distance, because it's quite cold the moment you step out of the car, and you want to get into that heated air-conditioned yes. room as yes. soon as you can.
Yes. Yes, that is so true. In fact, that area up there at Stirling is probably one of the most beautiful areas in all of Adelaide during autumn and also during spring. Mm-hmm. But goodness me, in winter, it's also 5 or 6 degrees cooler than what it is in Adelaide. And right now, Adelaide is sitting on about 15 degrees most of the time.
So, yes. A top of 15.
A top of 15, indeed. Well, look, let's come to our religious world watch now. For this week, I actually picked up an article from the Religion News Service that this article appeared just yesterday, so it's actually brand new. And it's one that really attracted my attention, because I think that it really is saying so much about the world in which we're living today. And Marty, I'd really appreciate your feedback on this. And this does come from the Religion News Service, and the title was with Pete Hegseth in the pews, "A Christian Nationalist Church Plant Has Launched in Washington, D.C. Now, a Christian nationalist church has planted in Washington, D.C. When I read that, I sort of thought, hey, we have to talk about this on our Drive Time program. This is what the article shares. Christchurch, D.C. is the latest example of Pastor Doug Wilson's growing sphere of influence amongst a cadre of conservative, as sometimes described as the new right. Pastor Jared Longshore isn't exactly a holy roller preacher, bearded and bespeckled. His sermon before the Washington, D.C. plant of Churchkirk on Sunday, July 13, was delivered in a subdued, heady style typical of the often buttoned-up Reformed church's tradition. But as Longshore stood underneath an American flag suspended just above his head, he said, "We understand that worship is warfare," Longshore said, leading over the lectern. He paused for a moment, then added, "And we mean that. This is warfare." And the message appeared to resonate with the most notable attendee amongst the crowd of worshippers, U.S. Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth. Children in the pews whispered excitedly when Hegseth entered, and the defense secretary was mobbed by supporters as he left the church. While the service itself followed the traditional rhythms of Reformed Protestant liturgy and confessions of faith, scripture readings, and hymns sung in harmonies, Longshore's sermon was full of political references. He lauded the Department of Government Efficiency and argued that liberty and equality are concepts that only make sense if they're attached to conservative Christianity. If you get rid of God, you lose all sense of what equality is, Longshore said. The church plant is the latest example of Pastor Doug Wilson's growing sphere of influence amongst a cadre of conservative, sometimes described as the new right, having founded Christkirk, also known as Christ Church, in Moscow, Idaho, decades ago. Wilson has since helped establish a small denomination, the Communion of Reformed Evangelical Churches, while also creating a Christian school, college, seminary, and printing press. Along the way, the stridently conservative pastor has sparked a number of controversies, from his blatant use of anti-LGBTQ slurs and his comments downplaying the atrocities of American slavery. Now, as I read this particular article, Marty, there was a huge number of warning bells actually came up in my mind. Of course, many of us here in Australia don't actually understand this whole issue of Christian nationalism. Now, for that reason, I actually went on to the Encyclopedia Britannia and just had a look at what their definition of Christian nationalism was. And it shares that it's an ideology that seeks to create or maintain a legal fusion of Christian belief with the nation's character. Advocates of a Christian nationalism consider their view of Christianity, and I find that particular statement and particularly important, their view of Christianity to be an integral part of their country's identity and want the government to promote or even enforce the religion's position within it. Now, when I read that, it sort of explained to me beautifully what Christian nationalism actually is. Now, of course, this actually goes beyond legitimate political debate that allows for a diversity of view. But Marty, can I ask you, do you have any concerns with this type of church plant?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's... You know, the whole concept of a fusion on a legal basis whereby you have the governing authorities and the church essentially coming into alignment so that, and you read a statement which said that, you know, this is something that, you know, Christian nationalism seeks to really enforce, essentially. When something becomes legalized, when it becomes legislated, when Christianity or a particular version of Christianity becomes legislated, the only way to actually, if something is legislated, it must be enforced.
Yes.
At some level. In other words, you can't have a law unless you've got some sort of way of enforcing that law, if that makes sense. We don't have road laws unless you've got police who can actually enforce those road laws. And the exact same would be true in this instance. If you've got Christian nationalism pushing, you know, a particular version of Christianity, and even if, let's even say if I agreed with most of it, I still don't agree with the concept, because I believe that even though there are many wonderful things that are being promoted there, you know, the beauty of faith and trust in the Bible and trust in God, these are all wonderful things. There's no problem with that. But it's how that, you know, how God's word and how faith is being pushed. That's the issue. As soon as we start to enter into the realm where religion in any way, shape or form becomes legislated, we've lost the essence of the gospel.
Yeah.
The essence of the gospel is that God is love and that he invites us to make our own personal decision based on our own personal conviction. You know, the area of what I believe and how I worship, that is an area. Worship is an area that is something that civil authorities should have nothing to do with.
Indeed.
You know, the way I pray, the way I worship God, you can't have another human being telling you how to do it and enforcing you to do it differently to how you believe. That is against the Word of God. Now, and we see examples of, you know, of this happening, obviously, throughout the Bible. You know, an example I'm thinking of is when Nebuchadnezzar actually becomes, you know, quite convicted in the book of Daniel. Yeah. The king of Babylon becomes very convicted over the fact that Daniel's God is the true God, and he tries to make this kind of law that, hey, you know, everyone needs to respect Daniel's God, and as much as this was a, you know, he was Nebuchadnezzar was trying to do something to honor God, but in the same sense, he was also missing the whole point as well, you know.
And you can't actually honor God by forced obedience in any area.
You can't. So worship must, by definition, must be given freely. It cannot be enforced.
Yeah.
Because worship is really an extension of love.
And that means that I actually have to allow others to actually disagree with me and actually have the freedom to be able to worship the way that their conscience actually impacts them.
Absolutely. And that's where, you know, this is – sure, that's risky, but that's the whole point. You know, God is not a God of force. He's a God of freedom.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, you know, just some very clear texts on this very issue is we see what Jesus said in the book of John, chapter 18, verse 36. Jesus, of course, is speaking with Pilate, mm-hmm. and he's soon to be crucified. And Jesus says to Pilate, "My kingdom is not of this world. Mm-hmm. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight." In other words, enforce.
Mm.
"So that I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now my kingdom is not from here."
What does he mean by that?
So I think when Jesus is saying this, Jesus is saying, you know, his kingdom was not to be an earthly kingdom bound up with, you know, earthly rule and earthly authority.
Mm.
Jesus is saying, my kingdom is not of this world. Mm. My kingdom, those who worship me, Jesus said on one occasion, will worship in spirit and in truth.
Mm.
And so worship is done in spirit and in truth. It's not something that can be legislated. It's not something that can be enforced. It's something that has to come from the heart.
I love that text that you actually read there. My kingdom is not of this world, because a lot of us do very easily overlook the fact that the reason Christ came was actually to change the human heart. And in changing the human heart, Christ constantly said, "You must be born again." It's this change of the human heart that would then result in a change in society. It's impossible to change society through political means and hope to have lasting change. That's why Christ constantly spoke to his disciples. Remember, in the book of Acts, the disciples were always asking Christ, "Will you at this time establish your kingdom?" And of course, the answer that came repetitiously was, "My kingdom is not of this world."
Yeah. And in that context, we can never forget the context in which Jesus was ministering in the first century. And that was a context where the Jews wanted, the Jews wanted not only spiritual renewal, but they wanted, I guess, they wanted political power. They wanted power over the Romans who were, you know, they were subject to the Romans at that time. And their very view of the Messiah, excuse me, was someone who would bring that kind of power to the nation of Israel.
Yeah.
Someone who would enforce the law, someone who would overturn,
if you like, Jewish nationalism.
It was Jewish nationalism. That's what they were looking for. Yeah. And history repeats itself. By the way, as I was looking at this very article, it made me just realize that it's so easy for us to forget our history.
Mm.
And the Protestants of America have forgotten their history. The very fact that a Protestant America can have a Christian nationalist party reveals that they have forgotten where they came from.
Yeah.
Because America was actually supposed to be a country or a nation without a king, and it was supposed to have religion without any pope. No head of authority was to dictate how worship was to take place. They fled, the Pilgrim Fathers fled, they fled from
the old world,
from Europe. Because they wanted religious freedom.
Yep.
And that's the whole basis of the Constitution, by the way. That's the whole basis of the Constitution. And so this kind of thing where we see, these groups, and by the way, I don't doubt that these groups will be very popular. And that's why I'd also say quickly, we need to, be more focused on being faithful to the word of God than trying to grow our congregations. I'm sure that many people will flock to this kind of thing.
And it'll get big write-ups.
And it'll get big, and it'll get a lot of attention, and it'll seem like, hey, this is a really great thing. But you know what? The truth has never been popular. And if something like this, is a real hit with a lot of people, that proves nothing.
Well, Christ actually said, "Woe unto you when all men think well of you."
Yeah. Well, I'm sure not everyone thinks well of this kind of a thing either. But I just think ultimately, truth can never be defined by the majority vote. It can only be defined by the word of God. And once again, what we see here in trying to merge and trying to legislate and legalize, conservative Christianity, that's at variance with the word of God. So it doesn't matter how popular it is.
Yeah.
It doesn't have the blessing of God.
In other words, just as the Jews wanted to have Jewish nationalism in the first century with the establishment of the Christian church, so there is a major issue with Christian nationalism today within the entire Christian movement. And this is something that's really starting to take off in a very significant manner.
And Pastor Gary, let me also just quickly say to our listeners that if this is a real shock to you to see that this is something that's taking place in America, that there is a movement towards legislating religion, I would just urge you to get the book, The Great Controversy. The book, The Great Controversy, actually has a chapter entitled Liberty of Conscience Threatened. Now, you can get this book, The Great Controversy, free online. It's, you can access it online for free. But really, the book of Revelation, chapter 13, is the chapter that desperately needs to be studied. It's present truth, and it reveals the direction that the United States of America is actually headed. So this kind of thing is really a confirmation of the prophecy of Revelation chapter 13.
Yeah, that's really so true. Really appreciate that particular comment, and I'd certainly support folks that book that Marty has just recommended. It is well worth looking at in the times in which we're living. Let's come to some music. This is Randy Travis, and the song is Shout to the Lord. Please enjoy this beautiful song.
Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength, let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship you. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound
Was Randy Travis, and he was singing "Shout to the Lord," a very a contemporary but very beautiful Christian hymn. And now, folks, look, this week we do have a really beaut giveaway for you. This book today, this week, is been written by Dr. George Knight. Now, George Knight's material is always very, very readable. You will love what George shares in this book. The book's entitled God's Truth Can Change Your Life. Searching for life's meaning is universal. Every culture in every era search for truth, a truth that answers life's very big questions, truth that provides significance for daily living, a truth that is certain and beyond doubt. But truth has come on hard times. Have you heard someone say, "You have your truth, I have my truth"? Really? Is that the way that it is? People agree that it's not wise to step out of a 10-story window or to eat certain types of mushrooms. In fact, science and technology are built upon the proposition that truth is out there waiting to be discovered. Dr. George Knight digs into this subject. He looks at good news in a confusing world. Jesus, as the center of the salvation story, then he has a chapter on creation and evolution. Is there such a thing as truth in that area? What's wrong with God's perfect creation? If you want to come to an understanding of what is wrong with God's originally perfect creation, is there a solution to the sin problem? So many of these questions are questions that people are asking today. Now, my friends, if you would like your own copy of God's Truth Can Change Your Life, all you need to do is to text us, and that'll go through to our robot. Come and ask you a couple of questions, and then we will get this book to you in the fastest way possible. Now, of course, this book, you can contact us here at our studio at 0488 808 11. That number again is 0488 808 11. Now, that's a text number. It's not actually a phone number. And in your text, just put the code for today. And the code for today is SA for South Australia 329. SA, just five digits in a row. SA 329. And just text that number to 0488 808 11, and that'll go through to our robot. Our robot will come through, ask you a couple of questions so that we can get this book to you super fast. 0488 808 11, and that code is SA 329. You'll really love this particular book. Now, folks, you are listening to Faith FM Drive Time, a big Q&A with Pastor Gary. And this week, we're following that theme, does it matter what I believe? And today, we're actually asking, Is all world religion essentially the same? And, you know, many places I've moved to, many people I've spoken to have said to me, Pastor, hey, why bother with these arguments about religion? All religion, I believe, is essentially the same. It's taking us to the same place, to the same God. So why don't we just live and let live? Now, of course, Marty, this is a truism that, you know, you and me have both heard many times. Tell me, is all religion essentially the same, or is this misconstrued?
In answering this question, I want to come to the text of Scripture pretty quickly. The last time I had a conversation with someone about this very topic was quite interesting. And it was at the University of Adelaide, and it was a young man actually who was from Iran. Mm-hmm. And he mentioned this sort of concept of, you know, sort of religion virtually. And he mentioned a Jewish author who has written a book, can't remember what it's called, but the concept of the book was basically that, yes, all religion is the same in the sense that religion is something that is man-made, mm-hmm. and it is something that ultimately is used by man to gain power and control. Mm. And so this is very much, you know, this is very similar kind of thinking to Karl Marx, who of course said religion was the opium or the opiate of the masses, that religion was something that was, you know, something that was used to, you know, to control the masses, to help them to feel a sense of, feel something good inside, but it was something that was of no value whatsoever. So this is the atheist perspective, actually. The atheist perspective is the idea that, hey, all religion is essentially the same. It's all man-made and it's all corrupt and it's all used to just to further, you know, further the whatever desires of that religious leaders, etc. Mm. Now, I notice, Pastor Gary, you're turning in your Bible, and I'm wondering, you know, did you want to add something to that?
No. I'm quite happy to listen, because I think what you're saying here is just so important, because after all, there are so many different world religions, and this hasn't been said to me just once or twice. This has been said to me on multiple occasions from numerous different directions.
Yes.
I'm really interested that someone at the university recently actually shared it with you.
So yeah, and this was the second time really that I had heard a very similar sentiment. I was recently visiting over in Turkey, and while I was there in Turkey, had some interesting conversations with some of the local people there. A local person in particular had the conversation where it felt very similar, where it was like this idea of, hey, you know, religion is such a negative thing. And it's used by people in power to perpetrate such terrible abuses and atrocities upon humanity.
This is an incredibly secular view.
This is the secular view, and I think that it's you can understand when you look at history why people might have that view.
Yeah.
But the issue is that when we throw out all religion, we throw out all concept of belief. See, most people today will say things like, you know, I'm not religious, but I am spiritual. This is really starting to become very, this is something that's very vague though. And really, I think what I have encountered when people have said that kind of thing to me is that they're saying, you know, I don't belong to any system. Mm-hmm. Because as soon as I belong to a system or an institution, I lose some sort of sense of independence and individuality and the ability to really express myself the way that I want to. So I'm spiritual, that's what people will say. I can express myself how I want to. Once again, though, I think that the challenge is that there still must be something that is a source of authority upon which we can, you know, what can we rest our ideas on? Because if it's just you believe that and I believe this and someone else believes that, and that becomes a very messy way to, you know, to run a society and to function as human beings. I mean, think about if we function that way just in a family unit. Mm-hmm. Think about if, you know, if kids in the house just said, well, you know, mum and dad, they can have their idea of what's good, but I have a different idea. And hey, by the way, this is getting pushed in society today.
Yeah, yeah.
And we have a society that is telling kids, hey, you know, kind of do whatever you want. But this is very destructive. And the Bible, there's a book in the Bible called the Book of Judges, and it's the most horrific book really in the Bible. And it finishes by saying, and every man did what was right in his own eyes. Mm-hmm. In other words, the byproduct of everybody just doing whatever they want is chaos. Now we see a perfect illustration of this when we come to the French Revolution. Once again, let's throw off religion. Let's get rid of all religion. But did that actually benefit the society? No. After 3.5 years, the society was so demoralized and it was, you know, it was just breaking. The very foundations of France as a nation was just disintegrating. And so unanimously, the nation voted, okay, we will tolerate religion just after 3.5 years of not having it. Mm-hmm. And so what we can see here is that, okay, this is a complex issue. Mm-hmm. I would agree, and I would say, look, we need to be very careful about the kind of religion that we do embrace, because I would agree that the vast majority of religion today is not something that is good. Mm-hmm. And that is evidenced by, you know, we can see this in so many different ways. Mm-hmm. So is all religion the same? The answer is no, because there is true and there is false.
You know, and it's interesting that you say that, because one of the things I'm really conscious of is that I also had the real privilege of visiting a few other countries. And as I've visited particularly non-Christian countries, you start to get a little bit of an understanding of some of the world religions that are actually out there. And, of course, some world religions are actually praying, because prayer is actually across every world religion. A lot of people don't actually realize that that's the fact of the matter. But the thing I came to discover is that in some countries, I will remember visiting Mongolia, and up there there was the Buddhist faith very strong in that area of the world. And I remember visiting a Buddhist temple, and in the temple there was actually the prayer wheel, and you could actually push the prayer wheel, and every time that the prayer wheel went around, that was one prayer and going off to heaven. Now, of course, Christ turned around and said, hey, avoid vain repetition. Because we want God, Jesus wanted us to pray to the Almighty God in heaven. Some world religions have got multiple gods that are being prayed to. And I've certainly been to some places where this has hardly been acknowledged, that there is different gods even involved. You know, if I go to the Old Testament, what I actually yeah. find in the Old Testament, there is multiple gods of multiple societies, and repetitiously, what we find is the people of God are implored, please don't get involved with yes. these other gods.
Well, that's exactly what I was thinking, Pastor Gary. I was thinking, you know, this whole, you know, the Ten Commandments make it very clear that there is only one true God, and then therefore there is only one true form of worship. And the Ten Commandments begins where God says, the Bible says, and God spoke all these words saying, by the way, this is Exodus chapter 20, yeah. and God spoke all these words saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. And then God goes on to say, you shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands to those who love me and keep my commandments. Mm-hmm. And so right there, right in the beginning of the Ten Commandments, you have God basically drawing a line in the sand and saying, true worship is involved in putting no other gods before me. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. I'm the one who created you. That's emphasized in the Sabbath commandment. Mm-hmm. Don't take my name in vain. You know, God is holy. God is almighty. God is the creator. There is only one true God. And all the other gods were false gods. Mm. So all the pagan religions were all false religions. And when you read through a bit of Deuteronomy and in the Psalms as well, we discover very quickly that the gods behind these so-called pagan idols were actually demonic. Mm. And that's why we find with Canaanite religion that things like child sacrifice was practiced. I mean, to say that all religion is the same, I'm sorry, but that just doesn't make any sense. Mm. I mean, to put on the same level a religion that sacrifices children and to put that religion on the same level as a religion that actually promotes, you know, the sacredness of life and the sanctity of the family unit, which is, you know, which is the biblical religion, you know, this is just, we cannot say that anymore, yeah. you know, and we should be much more rational in our thinking than to say, oh, all religion is basically the same. That's, nothing could be more ridiculous, let's be honest. Yeah. I mean, you know, let's consider some more examples. You know, throughout the Bible, God makes it very clear not to worship idols, mm-hmm. don't worship mm-hmm. images. And yet, in many world religions today, we see the worship of images, even within Christian religions.
Yes, yes.
And yet, this is not something that God says to do. So, is religion all the same? No, it's not. We have one Bible, and what we should have, ultimately, is if we were all truly following the word of God, we wouldn't have thousands of different religions. That's not God's plan at all. God's plan is that his people would be united and that we would be worshiping the one true God.
Tell me something. How would you respond then to the question? Because I'm conscious that some people in, you know, because I've certainly shared a very similar thought, and their response has been, Gary, this is a very intolerant view that you're actually expressing. Now, of course, we live in a day and age today where tolerance is something that is actually regarded incredibly highly. Are we being intolerant in expressing this view?
You know, I think we would be being intolerant if we treated people according to their religion. We don't treat people differently because of they have a different faith. Intolerance is expressed when we treat people differently according to their belief. Now, I'm not, if somebody comes to me and they're of a completely different faith to what I am, it would be wrong of me and unchristian of me to treat them differently because of that.
Yeah.
So intolerance doesn't result from, you know, people believing differently. Intolerance results from lacking genuine love in our hearts and being proud. And the reality is, whilst I might believe very firmly, we should be, let me use a little illustration, like in the way that we raise our children, okay? There's a book that I've been reading called The First 7 Years, and it's all about being, having strong values, mm-hmm. but having a gentle approach.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this blend of those two things that actually helps to raise children who are healthy with a sense of healthy sense of self-worth and self-respect, and who love and appreciate and respect other people as well.
Mm-hmm.
Strong values means we don't compromise on this stuff.
Mm.
Strong values means, son, that's not what we do in our family. This is what we do in our family. We don't speak that way in our family. We treat each other like this in our family. Those are strong values. And there's nothing wrong with holding to strong values and saying, this is what I believe. I'm not willing to compromise on this. If we don't have that, then we'll just be, I don't even know what we'll be. We'll just be so wishy-washy that we'll have, you know, no leg to stand on.
Mm.
Whereas when you've got strong values in a family setting, that actually helps bring stability and security into your home.
Mm-hmm.
But you must be gentle in how you enforce those and how you try and cultivate those values in our children. Mm-hmm. So, for example, whilst we might have a strong value about, you know, the way we speak to each other, if somebody, you know, steps out of line and they don't speak well, what do we do in that situation? How do we teach children to obey out of love rather than out of fear? You know, so a lot of this, I think, is very applicable to the way that we treat other people.
Mm.
I've got strong values that are based firmly in the Word of God, but if I talk to somebody who doesn't have those same values, it doesn't lessen my conviction.
Yeah.
I still need to stand by what I believe, but I can respect them and love them and treat them as an equal, and it doesn't, you know,
it doesn't mean I'm looking down on someone because I am disagreeing with them. In fact, what you find is that Christ, and we're going to come to this question in the second half, Christ actually gave a thing called a Great Commission to his disciples. The thing which he said was, I want you to go preach, teach, baptize into the whole world. And of course, as a result of that command, what you actually find is that Christianity established what was the great Christian missionary movements that impacted the entire world century after century after century. It's only in our contemporary world that we've tended to, start to frown upon the missionary type endeavor that was so forthright in previous generations.
Absolutely, and we owe so much to, you know, to what has happened in terms of when people of God have actually shared the good news of Jesus Christ. This has transformed societies.
Yeah.
It's brought about huge social reform. You know, England in the 1700s was a very different place than it was when we started to get into the early and mid 1800s because, you know, the evangelical revival actually brought such huge social reform. You know, John Wesley, he would preach and he would teach the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man.
Mm.
You know, this idea of we are all equal in God's eyes. This was something that was not taught. This was completely foreign in sort of that, you know, that Dark Ages type period.
Yeah.
That was, there was a ranking system, there was classes, and we see this in some world religions today, where there are different classes of people, and based on your class or based on your caste, you will be treated differently, and you are, you know, given certain privileges or neglected, or you were denied certain privileges based on your caste, based on your class. This was something that was just totally part of the fabric of Western society until it's really the Bible and the spread of the Bible that actually brought about that huge change. And if we would just go back in history and look at the changes that took place and actually look scientifically, we'll discover that as the word of God spread and as the truth of Jesus Christ and the good news of Jesus Christ spread, that there is salvation in no other, that our human works cannot save us, that this truth, that only Christ and his blood can save us, as this truth spread, it brought equality. It brought freedom. It brought liberty.
In other words, as the human heart changed, so society itself started to change.
Wow.
Interestingly,
yes.
Right now we're actually seeing a transition occurring in the opposite direction because Christian principles have actually been undermined.
Correct.
And you're actually seeing society move in the other direction.
Yeah, that's right. As soon as we begin to erode that biblical foundation, we start to lose everything that we've that really our forefathers have worked so hard to achieve.
Look, fantastic. Thank you. Really appreciate what you've shared there, Marty. Let's come to some music. This is Evie and Pelle Carlton, and they're singing Nehemiah's Prayer. Please enjoy this this really wonderful song. And that was Evie and Pelle Carlson, and they were singing Nehemiah's A Prayer. Hope you really enjoyed that particular song. Now, folks, our giveaway book again today is the book God's Truth. Now, this is by Dr. George Knight. He writes in such a understandable manner. You'll love this particular book. God's Truth can change your life. What does the Bible have to say to a confusing world about the big issues that are facing our world today? Is there only one truth? Where does Jesus fit in that whole dynamic that certainly has been presented by the Christian Church? Now, look, folks, if you'd like this question to be answered in a systematic manner, then this book is the book that you actually need. God's Truth Can Change Your Life by Dr. George Knight. Now, if you'd like to get your own copy of this book, all you need to do is to text us at 0488 80811. 0488 80811, and the code that you need for today, just put it in your text, is SA 329. SA 329 is the number that you just 5 digits in a row, and this will go through to our robot. Our robot will come back to you, ask you a few questions, so that we can get this book to you in the fastest way possible. 0488 80811, and the code is SA 329. Now, folks, you are listening to Faith FM Drive Time, Big Q&A with Pastor Gary, and this week we're following the theme, Does It Matter What I Believe? And today we're asking, are all world religions essentially the same? Now, Marty, we've got about 7 or 8 minutes to the top of the hour, and now you mentioned some really good things in the break. Do you want to just bring it together for us?
Christ said in Matthew chapter 24, he said, "For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect." Mm-hmm. 3 times in Matthew chapter 24, Jesus says, "Don't be deceived, don't be deceived, don't be deceived." The Apostle Paul says that in the last days, there will be a form of godliness mm-hmm. that denies its power. Mm-hmm. So clearly, all religion cannot be the same. Jesus warns against deception. The Apostle Paul warns against religion that is external but doesn't actually change
the heart.
Mm. And so what we see here is we see that Christ is actually appealing, and he's saying what we need to do is we need to be sanctified by the truth. Your word is truth. What does that mean? We need to come back to the Bible. Mm-hmm. We need to allow the Bible to be what defines what is truth and what is not. And the Apostle Paul does the same. In that same book, 2 Timothy, where he warns about the form of godliness but denying its power, he then goes on to say all Scripture is inspired by God. And if we would heed that word, if we would follow the word of God, it will equip us for every good work. Mm. So, Pastor Gary, I think we need to draw that line in the sand. Not us draw it. God has already drawn it for us. Mm-hmm. There is truth. There is error. There is God's word. There is man's word. There is God's commandments. There are man-made traditions. And we, in each instance, we need to be willing to say, Lord, I want to follow you. I want to be committed to you. This is such a serious issue that when we get to the book of Revelation, Revelation describes a power that is described as Babylon. Mm-hmm. And the Bible says that Babylon, the great, is fallen. I'm reading from Revelation chapter 18. And it says, Babylon, the great, is fallen and has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. Now, what is this referring to? Now, this is describing Babylon, really, in the book of Revelation, describes false religion. Mm-hmm. When you read about Babylon in Revelation chapter 17, it's described as a harlot or a prostitute woman mm-hmm. who has committed sexual immorality with the kings and the nations of the earth. And what we see here is that, you know, without going too specific into this, basically a woman in Bible prophecy represents a church.
Mm.
A pure woman represents a pure church. An impure woman represents an impure church.
Mm-hmm.
So I would ask this question. Does the book of Revelation give us an idea, suggest to us that what kind of religion we belong to is important? Absolutely it does. Absolutely it does. In fact, God goes on to say to those of his people who are in Babylon, who are involved in false religion, who are involved in false teaching, because really the wine is a symbol of false teaching.
Mm.
Now, the Bible says in Revelation 18, verse 4, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, come out of Babylon,
mm-hmm.
my people, God says, lest you share in her sins and lest you receive of her plagues. Because the Bible describes that the final plagues, mm-hmm. which is really God's wrath, will be poured out without any mixture of mercy, will be poured out upon Babylon. And those who have remained in Babylon, those who have remained in false religion, will actually experience God's justice in that situation. And so the appeal of Scripture is so powerful, Pastor Gary. And I don't want to water it down. I don't want to say, yes, you know, as long as you're just, you know, involved in whatever group you're involved in, then that's okay. I cannot say that in good conscience. I say to all of our listeners, I say to myself, we are only safe as we follow the Word of God and Jesus Christ.
Mm.
That's where our safety lies. And God really appeals to us through the Bible. In fact, Jesus appealed. And I want to finish with this in Matthew chapter 7. Jesus made a very clear appeal that shows that it does matter what we believe, what kind of community of faith we belong to. It's very, very important. Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. What is God's will?
Powerful.
If we come to Psalm 40 in verse 8, it says, I delight to do your will, O my God. Mm-hmm. Your law is within my heart. Mm. If you want to find a true community of faith, then you need to find a community of faith that upholds the law of God, that teaches that there is salvation in none other than Jesus Christ. That's the kind of faith that you need to find, my friends. Many will say to me, says Jesus in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? Jesus says, I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.
Mm.
It is absolutely vital that we follow the Lord Jesus Christ and we don't get caught up in false teaching and religion.
Thank you. Really appreciate what it is you've actually shared there, Marty. My friends, it does look like our time's up for today. Thank you so much for joining Pastor Gary and Pastor Marty Thompson on Drive Time. Big Q&A. Please join us tomorrow when I'll be sharing with Pastor David Butcher, and we're going to be asking, is all Christian religion essentially the same? Really look forward to you being with us. But until then, please remember, Christ said, I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give isn't like the peace that the world gives. So don't be troubled or afraid. May our God abundantly bless you.
This program has been made possible by the support of Adventist World Radio.